Welcome to our AJAG PD Pod, the place for discussion, debate, and learning about all things accounting. Our hosts, Ivan Tabak, Jonathan Tucker, are CPAs that have been in practice for more than 3 decades. Together, they bring varying experience and viewpoints to the table, not to mention a little humor, too. Join us as we talk through current issues and hot topics, tap into expert guest insights, and enjoy the odd walk down AJAG memory lane. Before we begin today's podcast, please note, although the educational material within the podcast has been carefully prepared, none of the persons involved in the preparation of the material accepts any legal responsibility for its contents or for any consequences arising from its use. As well, the podcast material and the references contained therein may reflect laws and practices that are subject to change. Advice regarding a particular fact or situation should always be reviewed by a qualified professional. This podcast is produced and distributed by AJAG Professional Development. For more information about AJAG or any of its offerings, please visit ajag.ca.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone.
Everyone.
I am everyone.
Ivan Tabak.
I'm Jonathan Tucker.
So, one day post-tax season.
What are we doing here?
Nothing else to do now.
That's the thing, eh? I mean, March or May 1st is such a contrast to life for the last, 60 days, and then you get up and there's nothing. It's crazy, eh?
In almost 40 years, this has been the absolute worst tax season I have ever had in terms of
the rush,
volume and the rush and how it was all condensed because...
Yeah. We really had 1 month.
Yeah, because the whole month of March was spent on doing trusts.
Yeah.
And half of that time was just an absolute total waste.
Yeah.
Waste of time, waste of money.
Yeah.
For clients, for us.
Yeah. And just the stress. Just the stress.
Yeah. Trying to figure out, who's got trust, what's a trust, how do you file, searching through.
And then I had to shift gears and think UHT. As well as trust, because those are two things that converged in relatively short order. It's like, all right, now, so let me get back into how should I be thinking about UHT versus is this a bear trust? And it was just crazy, eh?
Yeah. Another wonderful gift from
our
powers that be who think...
Well, this is 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah.
2 years in a row this has happened.
Well, at least with the UHT, they said, okay, we still need the work product from the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have felt better if they said, okay, still file these bare trusts.
Did you bill clients?
Now, I bill clients for the ones that were done and went out the door, right?
Yeah.
There's a few that never ended up happening that I spent time on, so that we'll have to... See how that one goes, but
that's my next task is just catching up on billing.
Yeah,
right, and that's part of what to do with that, right? So, do I bill clients for that or not?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, you did the work. It's not your fault that the rules changed. Mm. On the other hand, they're not going to be happy paying for something that never got done.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I was thinking about asking them to maybe split it. Split it 50-50.
That's not a bad idea.
So
just as a poll question, maybe it'd be interesting to ask those that are watching, what did you do with the time you had on T3 trust reporting? Did you bill clients? It might be interesting to see what other people are doing.
Yeah.
About a week ago, I started getting back notices of assessment on these T3s.
Oh, with the penalties?
With the penalties. I had, in 1 day, 3 came through all with... penalties.
Late filing.
Late filing penalties. So when I should have been checking returns, what am I doing? I'm writing an email, a carefully worded email to all of my trust clients to say, if you get this, don't pay it. And so taking time to make sure, because I could see if there was 3 that came that day, all with penalties, this was a problem. And so we went back to look, I knew we hadn't filed them late.
Yeah.
So, it was the gift that kept on giving, right?
It's funny. I didn't get one of them.
Really?
Yet, or I haven't seen one of them yet. Wow. And I filed all of them on the day before the deadline. I just shipped them all in.
But to think on that issue, which had been such a contentious issue,
and now
they put penalties.
They add it. Yeah.
Oh, gee. And then there was an email that came out that said, no, we made a mistake and so on. But it wasn't no use because I'd already been taking the time to send it out.
And the Lions aren't getting that email. So they're seeing it and they're upset.
Oh, well, that's why we put out the email.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't know. I read about it in the news also. And then you told me that same day.
Yeah.
But so far, I haven't seen one come in yet. But I imagine they'll turn up.
Yeah.
So that another reason to love our government.
That didn't endear us to anymore. Yeah. So, no, just a crazy, crazy time. I'm glad it's behind us. Do you have many June 15th returns?
No.
I've got a lot. So we've been pushing.
I try and get them out. I try and do them all.
Just to get them out of the way.
Just to get them out of the way. And, you know, if you have to come up with an estimated tax balance, might as well just do the returns. So.
Yeah. Any challenging returns this year? Like, was there more of one theme you saw, or it's just the same as usual?
The same as usual. Mm. It's the most frustrating thing is that clients you've had year after year after year still don't send you the information that you asked for every single year.
Yeah.
Things like, well, I would say this year, maybe the difference would be the home office, right? Because after COVID now, you know, there's been a transition. So for basically every client that's employed, I ask the question and in many, many cases, it was like, So
and they haven't
to the last week, you know, they're running and getting T-2200s. And I don't understand why the employers aren't just forthcoming with the forms when they issue the T-4s. But, you know, the fourth week of April, people were running and trying to get T-2200s. So that was just maddening. And, but things like medical expenses, you know, I get emails from clients saying, oh, please explain what would qualify as a medical expense. Really?
Yeah. Or clients telling you that something qualifies as a medical expense.
You don't know that a prescription maybe is a medical expense, or your dentist or your ride. I have to tell you that.
Yeah.
Things like that just drive me nuts. It takes so much extra time.
Yeah. And especially when you're running on empty as it is, and then you get those annoying emails from people saying, just one more question, and it's the fourth email, you know? So how do you calculate the split? Because, you know, for pension split, like, because I'm in a higher tax bracket than my spouse, and how is it you're telling me I should put more, just those, and how is it calculated? I don't know how it's calculated. The program's doing it for me. This is so.
Yeah. Or the email, I know you're really busy, but.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
I'm planning to sell my farm property. Can you do a little planning with me?
You know, my mother-in-law passed at the end of. At the end of March. And so I used my out of office just to say I was out of office. And I would still get emails from clients saying, oh, sorry, but I have blah, 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 an outline. And it was just so annoying. So it's already bad enough when it's tax season just to respond. It's just been a challenging time.
But a few more months and we'll be.
Yeah.
Doing it again.
No, it's true. What else have we been thinking about? The budget. I mean, that was the great. I was in the grocery store the other day picking up something. I saw a client, so I thought, I'll just go over. And you know, it's when I had worked about 80 hours that week. And so I went over and said hello and she immediately started talking to me about capital gains, and the budget had only just come out a couple of days earlier, and she had like every question. And I ended up saying to her, you know, I only came over to say hello. I didn't want to get into a conversation about something I haven't even read about yet. Right. And people did like a couple of hours after the budget, and I was getting emails from people saying, so how's this going to work? How is the capital? Crazy.
My favorite was I got an email a couple of days ago saying, so this means that with that $250,000 exemption, I can just be trading as much as I want and not worry about it because I don't think I'm going to go over that.
The misinformation. So, and then the media, that's the other piece, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pontificating as though they actually know something about.
Oh, yeah. They talk like it's the end of the world. I mean, nobody's happy about the increase, and I don't think it was fair in full the way they're putting it in their own.
Personal versus corporate?
Yeah. You know, why single out corporations?
Yeah.
You know, maybe make it large corporations by their definition.
Yeah.
You know, that are fully taxed at the 67% right off the bat. And smaller corporations maybe phase it in the same way they're doing it for individuals. Mm.
Did you go through the tool to determine if a property was a vacation property that fell outside of, I can't even remember the term. This was for UHT, and it was to try to find if your property had an exemption under a vacation. Have you seen that?
I never even looked. Because
I went through it.
We just filed.
It took me 40 minutes because I had a client who said, well, maybe my property is outside of the area. If you go onto the CRA website, it is 18 steps of very detailed instructions in terms of how to get the online tool, to figure out if your property falls within an orange area.
Really?
Yeah. It was insane. I sent it back to the client who's a physician, and I said, this is what our government is up to right now. Like, look at how I had him read it himself.
Even if they did have to file, is that something where they would have been taxable, or they would have been exempt from the tax?
They would have. The question was, could we get them out of filing a UHT return because they had a couple of properties?
Okay. So then at the end of the day, who cares?
I know. But if you'd seen this, if you had seen the insanity my wife, and it was like, can you believe?
And all just to get somebody to file a return where you're exempt from the tax anyway.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, of course, they did away with, well, at least we're assuming they've done away with all that.
The reason it became an issue, I think, as I think back on it now, was there's two properties, and so we were thinking down the road in terms of utilization of principal residence exemption as well, and how are we
going to
position this?
Yeah.
And so it kind of forced us to look through that. But honestly, I have never seen anything quite like that.
Now, did you file UHT returns for everybody you filed last year?
No.
Or
no.
Just non-residents?
Just non-residents.
Right. Yeah. So we're accepting the fact that it hasn't passed, but the form has been changed to do away with all those other.
And I think that's the other part that makes, although we don't really address it, but just the increased amount of risk we find ourselves in now with this new legislation, that we're making decisions. We don't know necessarily that they're right decisions. And we're not really taking account of that, right? I mean, clients are relying on us to know this. And when it's new, there's scant information.
And it seems like the government is now relying on us.
Penalties that are not insignificant anymore, right?
So the government, by default, is putting the onus on us because they know that accountants aren't going to want to take chances and cut corners because that'll be at our risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're making us into the enforcers.
Yeah.
And it's just becoming.
It's certainly
more unpleasant to.
Yeah. It is.
To do this job.
It is. It's not like what we've been used to.
No.
It's not like what we've been used to. So alternative minimum tax and trusts. That's the one that has me worried, because what they proposed last year, and they referenced it in the budget, but I haven't done any reading on it at this point, but is AMT and family trusts, right? So.
Yeah. But I mean, the family trusts I have, I almost never leave any income in the trust.
It's not the income that's left in the trust. It's now the restriction on the deductions that create income that's subject to trust, or that's subject to tax, right? So I remember looking at this back because they had a short period of public consultation back last summer. And what they had released at that time suggested that every trust other than a spousal trust or a disability trust would have some level of tax even if you distributed the income, because they were cutting back on, you could only claim a certain percentage of certain deductions. And so it was a big deal. And it's kind of flew under the radar. And I'm interested to see if there's any further decision on this, because at that point it was just released for public consultation. And I was surprised it didn't get on, but it was the summer when people aren't reading, and there was a short consultation period. And most people, you know, when the consultation period, I think, ran out September 30th. September's a busy month. It's not on our radar. And so anyway, I'll be interested to see, because if it's what was in last year, that was that was the assumption that trusts are invalid, are vehicles for escaping tax, rather than having a genuine purpose in our own family. My mother-in-law had dementia. A trust was a vehicle to manage that, right? So I'll be interested to see what's coming out of that. But that's been a real sleeper of an issue, right, AMT? So, well,
I don't know what else there is to update. I just want to go home and go to sleep.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I gotta get out some bills, and
yeah,
that was everything. You know how pathetic it is when you don't have time to send out a bill.
Yeah, I know.
I did it for the first week of April. Mm. I was getting bills out with the returns.
Yeah,
and then just didn't have time.
Yeah, no. And you were pretty stressed, right? I could tell.
Went down to the wire.
Yeah. You're usually pretty well in control of that. I'm the one who's scrambling normally, but I could tell this year I remember at one point you said, I don't think I'm going to get everything finished, but you got everything done. So. And we always do. Right?
Always manage to find a way, but...
Yeah. It's not pleasant. It's not elegant.
I mean, I never used to work Sundays.
Right.
Even in the busiest part of tax season.
Right.
Sundays, I just didn't. This year, the last five Sundays, I worked straight. So,
well, you'll need a rest. I certainly do.
Yeah.
So, crazy. Anyway, it's done for another year.
Yep. Now we wait for the processing reviews.
Yes.
We'll see what they come up with this year.
So I'll be interested.
The $14 foreign tax credit.
Yes. that you have to jump through hoops to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'll be interested to see, though, what people are thinking about the time they had on the bear trusts, if they bill it or not. So maybe we'll look in comments to see what people are...
Yeah, so that would be interesting.
All right, everyone. We'll see you back in our next podcast.
Take care.